Hello, this is Rabbi Mordechai Fleischer of the Denver Community Kolo, bringing you this week's thought on the parasha. A major discussion in this week's parasha involves the sota, a woman suspected of infidelity, and under certain circumstances where the husband warns her not to seclude herself with a certain man, and she does so, and there is suspicion that inappropriate behavior has taken place, and the woman has been unfaithful, the husband can take his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple, where she is administered what is referred to in the Torah as the bitter waters. And these waters test her. If she is indeed guilty of infidelity, then the waters will cause her death. And if she is innocent, then she will survive and indeed be blessed for having to have gone through this process. If you look at the discussions in the Torah leading up to this point, the Torah does not seem to be really talking about any of ideas that seemed to connect to the discussion of sota. In last week's parsha, we had extensive discussions about the Jewish people's encampments in the desert around the Mishkan and the encampment of the tribe of Levi, the jobs of the tribe of Levi in carrying the parts of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle. At the beginning of this week's parsha, again, this continues with the different jobs, and then the Torah continues on to a discussion about sending impure people outside of the camp in order to keep the camp pure and to keep certain types of Tumah, certain types of people who are impure, from coming inside the camp and thus sullying the purity of the camp. And how does the parasha of Sota tie into all of this? What does it have to do? Seemingly, it's a completely different discussion. Rabbi Gedaliah Shor explains that, in fact, it's very much connected. And he bases this upon a Ramban. The Ramban points out that the waters of the Sota were only effective, only tested the woman, during a period when the Jewish people were living up to a level of greatness that was expected of them in their mitzvah observance and their connection to Hashem. However, the Talmud teaches us that during periods when the Jewish people were not on their best behavior, when there was widespread inappropriate behavior going on in the Jewish people, when there was a lot of people not behaving properly in the context of the marriage, and there was a lot of infidelity going on, then the waters no longer tested the Jewish people. What's the idea behind this? Explains the Ramban that the waters of the Sota are not meant just to tell you whether a woman is guilty or not. And in fact, he points out that this is one of the very few mitzvahs in the Torah where the mitzvah itself involves the miraculous, if not the only mitzvah that involves the miraculous, because every mitzvah can be done through perfectly natural means and nothing miraculous is necessary. But this mitzvah of giving this woman to drink the water and then the water will cause her death is a miraculous occurrence. And the Ramban explains that when the Jewish people are pure, and when their camp is pure, and when they are on a level of purity, then these waters of the Sota will root out the impurity. It will root out the individuals who are guilty of the kind of behavior that will sully that purity and that holiness. And thus, that is the purpose of the waters of the Sota, not merely to point out who is guilty of a sin. We don't find testing people if they're guilty of other sins like Shabbos desecration or not eating kosher and so on, but rather a cheating in a marriage is not just a desecration of the marriage, but it's a desecration of the very, very purity of the Jewish people. And so when the Jewish people are on a level of purity and holiness, then the waters were able to test this woman. And when that failed to happen, when the Jewish people were not on that level, then the waters would not be effective anymore. And thus explains Rabbi Shor that what is really going on over here is a preservation of the purity of the Jewish people when they are on that level of purity, when their camp, when their machane, when the community lives at a level of purity and of holiness, then Hashem provides the tools to help maintain that purity and that holiness. And thus, it is very appropriate that this discussion takes place on the heels of all the discussions in the Torah about the encampments of the Jewish people and the jobs of the Levites in making sure that the different parts of the Mishkan are taken care of, because all of that revolves around creating and maintaining the proper place of the Jewish people in their encampment as a community in a state of purity and holiness surrounding the Mishkan, surrounding the presence of Hashem that is in their midst, and culminates with the discussion of sending out those who are not pure from their midst. And thus, it is very appropriate that the very next thing is talking about maintaining that purity in the context of marriage. How very important it is, the idea of marriage to Judaism, in order to maintain purity, in order to maintain holiness. And the idea of holiness and purity in the context of a marriage is so vital to the holiness and purity of our community. In an era where this area of life has become so sullied and dragged through the mud. And what we see going on today, and unfortunately things just continue to deteriorate from one day to the next in the culture and the world around us, where there is so much of a lack of purity and holiness in the area of marriage and of relationships. How much more we have to strive to do our best within our lives, within our communities, to try and create an island of holiness and of purity in this realm of marriages, of relationships. I hope you enjoy this message, and I wish you a wonderful Shabbos.